post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football on the Australian Community Radio Network. How are you, Michelle Bertrand?
Well, after another week of nail-biting A-League, I'm a bit tired, Eamon.
You're a bit tired. Well, we're going to rejuvenate you here with exciting A-League talk. Fitzham Hachtamarian joins us in the studio, as always. Fitzham, how are you going?
I'm excellent. How are you going, Eamon?
You're looking fantastic. And we've also got Russ Gibbs in the studio. Russ Gibbs, our expert on all things women's football. How are you, Russ?
I'm very good, thanks, Eamon.
A man who knows nothing about Manchester United or anything else, but he knows everything there is to know about women's football.
Thanks for that.
No worries. Okay, well, what have we got coming up in the show?
Well, coming up in the first half hour, we are going to be talking Socceroos, A-League, W League, and you've got the big issues, quiz dedications, and more.
And we've also got the Socceroos, of course, are playing Indonesia and Kuwait in January in the Asia Cup. And our Socceroos expert, Fitzham Hachtamarian, is going to pick the A-League Socceroos team for us. And he better get it right or we're going to give him heaps. Now, you can dedicate the show as always. This week, we dedicated the show to one of Australia's finest, or one of the A-League's finest goal scorers. Scored a wonderful goal on the weekend. We dedicated the show to Gold Coast United new signing and Wellington Phoenix superstar, Shane Smeltz. So good on you, Shane. Great goal. Good to see. Now, the quiz, top the top scorers from each of the A-League teams. Name the top scorers from each of the A-League teams.
The stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda star drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links. Now, the quiz question this week, name the eight top scorers for top scorer with each of the clubs. We'll go down the list. Okay, we'll start with Wellington Phoenix, being as we've dedicated the show. Top scorer of Wellington Phoenix, Michelle?
Shane Smeltz.
Shaney Smeltz. Melbourne Victory?
Also.
Danny also. Sydney FC, have they scored any goals?
It's probably Brosk, isn't it? Or maybe
I think
Steve
it's
Corica.
Four goals, Corica, yeah.
Now, I don't have the answer to these questions. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Corica with four
Steve
goals.
Steve Corica, we reckon. And yeah, you can email us if we're right. If we're wrong, don't bother. Queensland Raw?
Charlie Miller.
Charlie Miller.
Of course.
What a fantastic player he is. Now he's left Rangers and plays for Queensland. Perth Glory?
Rukavica.
Nikita Rukavica, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Central Coast Mariners.
Matt Simon,
yeah.
Matt Simon.
God, you guys are good. I didn't even need the answer to this week. Newcastle Jets.
Newcastle Jets don't have top scorer because they don't score.
They've scored 12 goals. Who scored the most for them? Joel Griffiths probably only got two.
It probably is Joel, though.
He's only got two, hasn't he?
No.
Adam Griffiths has got a couple as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So he might be up there.
There's no one. No.
And okay. Thompson's got two as well.
So, okay, so we think there's a joint there on about two. And what about Perth Glory?
Yeah, we already
went through that.
I knew we'd gone through that already. I was just testing to see that you're on the ball. So we've done them all, okay.
Except for Adelaide United.
And we haven't done Adelaide yet. But we will do Adelaide. In fact, we'll do it right now. Who's the top scorer for Adelaide?
Travis Dodd, I'm guessing.
I reckon Cristiano.
I would have gone Cristiano, but we don't know. You need to prepare these better, Eamon.
What sort of a quiz master is that? Well, that's a shocker. Okay, well, obviously, if you're listening at home, you've probably got the answer right and you're probably kicking because we just...
We've got it right.
So I'll take you, yeah, as long as you guys are right. Okay, well, what we do know about, and we can say with some certainty, we know everything there is to know about the O-League, and there is nothing that we don't know, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. So, with the O-League, first of all, the scores from the weekend, well, we'll go through. Wellington Phoenix 2, Melbourne Victory 1. Fred is back. Wellington Phoenix rose into the top four, they're now fifth place, but they're joint fourth. What's going on there?
Well, now they're above Sydney, Newcastle. Don't really concern Perth, but they're doing well, surprisingly.
So they're joint. I mean, it's the highest they've been in the league. And to me, I watched a bit of the game and seeing Fred back in the team, they can play football suddenly. They yes. actually looked like a football team. And, you know, Danielle came on, you know, a bit of flair came on even late on. But Fred, I mean, Fred is good. What did you think of Fred's performance?
Yeah, I think Fred is one player that New Zealand didn't have that can actually stop the ball and pass it, not just belt it from one end to the other end.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And it is interesting that the coach has gone for a player that can't just whack the ball. You know, he's actually chosen a footballer.
Exactly, and that's a big difference. I think even last week's game that they had, when Fred's first game, he made such a great difference in about 60 minutes that he played. They were playing the ball on the ground, they were playing 1-2s, and they were playing pass and move type of game, which is very different to them.
So, yeah, because they can't practice that in training, can they? Because obviously they
haven't. No, just got a playmaker.
What different? It's interesting to me that a team that, you know, obviously set a stall out for the last, ever since we've seen Wellington play under Ricky Herbert, they seem to play the same way. It's not very interesting. They got rid of Lele Gao, who I've always thought is probably one of the most interesting players or exciting players they've got. They bring in Fred, and suddenly, you know, some of these guys like Leo Burtis, obviously Shane Smeltz, Troy Harefield even, they start to look like they can be part of a team, don't they? It's amazing.
I think they're looking at like a real contender for the cup now.
Yeah. Now, wouldn't that be interesting if they can push their way into the four?
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt it. I think they've done well to get where they are, but I think when they get to the top four, it'll be a little bit more difficult.
In the final series. But you think they'll get to the finals?
I think they might just scrape in, but it just depends. I mean, my team is up there as well, Central Coast, and I think Central Coast probably will get there on the fourth spot.
Yeah, that's your team, you're biased, but I think you're in trouble actually. We'll come to Central Coast in a minute. Well, Melbourne Victory, they're a team I always enjoy watching play. I mean, when you've got players like Hernandez and Nicky Ward on the bench, and you've got Lopez and particularly Ney Fabiano, Archie Thompson, Danny Allsop on the field, they're a team that, you know, they've got real experience. And I talked to Ron Smith during the week, and he was saying that when he was at Perth, you know, bringing in young players in the A-League is impossible. You cannot develop players in the A-League. He said, because everybody wants results. And he said, if you look at the teams that do well, Melbourne Victory in the first year, they had a lot of young players. Mm. But now you look at their strengths, the names that we just rolled off there, they're all experienced players. Mm. And he said, you look at Newcastle Jets or Perth Glory, and he said, they've got some great players. He said, he introduced Jamie Downey and Nikita Rukovic, but it's really taken them even till this year to sort of come through. He said the A-League's not a development league, or you cannot develop players in the A-League. What do you think about that?
Well, at least to some extent that's true, but then it's a good thing that we've got the youth league now where they can get some level of game time and possibly be as ready as they can, I guess, if they get called up to the A-League.
Do you think clubs and fans are prepared to put up with players like Nikita? Not necessarily this season. Nikita Rukovic is obviously one of the top players. But last season, you know, players like that who aren't fully developed, and if you're going to play them, you're going to get some goals and you're going to get some sporadic performances. Do you think the fans are ready to accept that?
I think so. I think we've had a lot of new players like Zulo and Cruz that have done well. And Newcastle Jets had that Najdowski that played and he did really well on the left-hand side, I think.
So, I mean, one of the things you've got to accept is that these players are going to come through and we're going to have to take the good and bad performances.
They have to think of the future, I think,
of
the A-League.
Yeah, it's the nature of the league. Mm. So it's good to see. Okay, Sydney versus Queensland, one each. 8,502 at that game. But what did you think? Sydney in crisis or not?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think from the moment they signed Aloisi for $1.2 million or whatever it is, I think that's when it showed that they spent... They just decided that the one player was going to make such a big difference, and it turned out it hasn't.
Having said that, the Queensland, I mean, are looking very good, particularly away from home. But Sydney, you know, supposedly in crisis, a lot of players out, playing all over the park, retiring and all sorts of things. But they came back well, I thought, in that game.
They did, but they haven't been consistent. I think Cosmina keeps saying that they're playing well, but if they're playing well, you expect them to get good results at some stage, which they're not.
Alex Brotter is an interesting player to me because, you know, Fozzie on Craig Foster often talks about how fantastic he is. But he seems to me he's not a 90-minute player, but what he is he's very good. Like when he came on late, he was superb again, or very good when he came on. And I thought, he's one of these players, he's not the most physical, and he's good probably for 60 minutes or coming on off the bench. And if you've got a strong enough squad, he's probably a great player to have. But fitting him and Bridge, I mean, Bridge is another 60-minute man, really, isn't he?
He is. I think Sydney, especially because of injuries and other reasons, they've had a lot of chopping and changing with their team, and that hasn't helped players like Brosk and I guess, Aloisi.
I don't think he has. And also Queensland Raw, I mean, interesting, Shannon Cole played right back. I don't think he's a right back. And I think Michael Zulu had an outstanding game, probably the first outstanding game of the season. He just took him to the cleaners. And it seemed to me Cole is better on the left side of midfield. That's where he started the first. And, he's only his first season. So he's getting exposed time and time again. And he's not really been able to come forward in the way and show his skills and his crosses in the way that he was in the first games.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, Sydney a little bit weaker in defence these days. They've only, lost Popovich and put Shannon Cole. It's the sort of player that needs to be protected a bit and maybe played further up the field.
Yeah, but Sydney were talked about as having pretty much a team of stars initially at the beginning of the season, but the performance isn't there.
No, they're not. I mean, in theory, the name players like Aloisi and Colissimo, Corica, all these guys, they should be on a par with Melbourne in theory, but it hasn't worked out. Mm. And they've got major problems. I mean, they've got Terry McFlynn out and Popovich is retired, so they'll be looking to get in the four. Queensland, I think Queensland, they've got a draw. They're going to be disappointed. Surely that's probably their best chance to beat Sydney away, I would have thought.
Yeah, especially the way they started the game, and they looked like they were going to win the game. But as you said, Sydney came back well towards, I guess, the last 30 minutes of the game or so.
Perth Glory, the unluckiest team, not just in Australian football, but probably in the world. You're sitting there, Michelle, watching them, and you're thinking, this team haven't won a game since, probably for 4 years, I reckon. It seems like that anyway, doesn't it? But, they lost to Newcastle a few weeks ago, and they've been playing quite well. They lost to Newcastle with Jaden North scoring in, probably when everyone, even the fans, have gone home. Mm. And then they're away last week to Queensland. They're doing fantastic. It's only a matter of time before they take the lead. There's like 2 seconds before half-time and they're 2-0 down at half-time. This can't be. And then you're watching them against Central Coast Mariners. First of all, Michelle, what did you think of Nikita?
I think Nikita is a great finisher. I think you can really see that he's a great player and I would definitely have him in my A-League Socceroo team.
Oh, bit of pressure on the air, too. We'll have to see. But yeah, he's the sort of player who gets you out of his chair.
Yeah,
out of
my
chair. I don't know whether he gets you out of your chair. But, he's one of those guys who you think, he's just improving all the time as well, isn't he? And the goal he scored, what did you think about the second goal he scored, I should say?
I think that's got to be the goal of the season so far.
The goal of the season, certainly the best team goal.
Yeah, and that's what we want to see football played, that's the way we want to see it played.
Normally he's very much, because he's so fast, it's very hard for the other players to catch up with him, for him to have like a team, up front. He's usually by himself up there. But yeah, it was good to see.
And it's fantastic to have a player with pace, isn't it?
Mm.
Now, you knew it 2-1. I mean, the Glory fans were superb. They got behind the team 1-0 down. You're thinking, oh, here we go again. But they came back, Nikki, to save the day, scored a couple of goals, great goals. And you thought, you just knew it, didn't you? You just knew it. They're not
going to be the last second.
Especially playing Central Coast as well.
Yeah, they've got a reputation of coming back even after 3-0 down.
Yeah, that's right. Now, and what a goal. Mm. Sasha Protoski.
Typical.
He doesn't run all game when he's only on for a few minutes. Doesn't run and the ball
but
goes.
That's what they need him to do.
And there you go.
And he's one of the leading scorers with about 7 or 8 goals as well.
Seven or eight tap-ins
off the bench.
Well, good on you, Sasha. Well done. But you got a feel for Perth. But they are playing some good football, and they've still got Amarell to come back, and I love watching him play.
Yeah, and especially Trinidad now starting, and I think he's one of their best players around now with Amarell coming in, and Trinidad still stays on. I think they'll be a great team. He's been playing very
6
well.
Points out of the
top four. Yeah.
So can they do it?
No.
Okay, fine. Good. Okay. Newcastle Jets versus Adelaide
Jets.
United. Oh, the Newcastle Jets, we say. Well, it's from Taylor Woe with Perth to,
I actually thought they were coming off the bottom.
Well,
they are still on the bottom.
Well, they're off the bottom, the joint bottom on 12
points.
Oh,
yeah, together.
So Newcastle Jets, Adelaide 1. Now, I looked at that team and I thought, all the strikers, Mario Jardel, he's long gone. The other fella, Edmund Azura, he's long gone. Dwight York wouldn't sign, not for even, $200 million or whatever it was. Joel Griffiths suspended because his brother is leaving. He got upset, so he lashed out. Who was left? So they're bringing the young fellas and you think, this isn't going to work. Well, it sort of did.
I think that's the best Newcastle's played for a number of weeks. And talk about a team in crisis, I think, along with Sydney, they're up there.
Yeah, they certainly are.
The only person I wasn't impressed with was the goal scorer, Thompson.
Matt Thompson, you were impressed with.
I wasn't. No.
What about Jason Nandoski? We had the world's exclusive interview on the near post before his first A-League game many weeks ago. And he did quite well, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the one that passed the ball for the goal. Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And he put himself around. He's got a good mobility.
He's surprisingly a physical player for his size, especially compared to the two backs that he was playing with Sasha Oganovsky and
the other fella.
Yeah.
Names keeps me again.
Angela Costanza, that's the one.
Okay. That's probably, so he did well.
All right, so the Jets did, they did well. But again, you knew even with 93 minutes and...
The goalkeeper stuffed up right at the last.
And I think that is the way to say it.
And that's why he's not in my team.
Anti-Covic. Okay, this week's Adelaide and Wellington. Quick predictions.
Wellington.
Ooh. Oh, Adelaide 2-0.
Oh, 2-0. Okay, Central Coast, Queensland.
Queensland.
Central Coast 2-0, thanks.
Perth, Melbourne.
Oh, Melbourne.
Perth, I think they'll need to win, so you're Perth 1-0.
You're a brave man, Fitzsimmons. Newcastle, Sydney.
Newcastle, of course.
Of
Sydney
course,
can't win.
Newcastle, Sydney can't win, Fitzsimmons.
Sydney, Newcastle, a draw. They won't score.
A draw. Okay, well, you heard it here. There are the scores. Coming up now, we're going to talk W League with Russ Gibbs. Just a moment.
From Perth glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post. Going coast to coast. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.
And the W League rocks on. We're into, we've had six rounds. There's four to go. We're getting down to the finals. Top four go through, of course. Now, the scores on the weekend, Russ, what were they?
We'll start with the top of the table. Clashed Queensland Raw beating Sydney FC 3-0. Comfortable victory for Queensland. Carla Reuter, Alicia Ferguson and Courtney Butel for the Queensland girls there.
That's actually a bit of a thrashing.
That is a hammering for the top two.
Sydney won't be impressed with that because obviously those two teams are supposed to be, they are top of the league. They're supposed to be the top two teams.
They certainly are, and it was certainly one-way traffic with Queensland looking the better side all the way through, which they have done for most of the season, to be fair. Although they were helped with the first goal, was an absolute howler from the goalkeeper on a wet surface. But there we go, as Queensland looking the better of the sides and winning 3-2.
In fact, the goalie had a shocker, Rachel Cooper.
Not one of her best games. She wouldn't have been too impressed.
She had a couple that sort of came out for the punch and she punched it, but...
Yeah, she wouldn't have been too happy. I mean, Sydney have had a good season so far, but that's the first time they've really been put under a lot of pressure and they've crumbled,
so that's
to be fair.
Perhaps an indication of how the finals might go, 3-0, bit of a walloping. All the scores?
The other scores, Perth Glory 2, Canberra United 2, Perth 2-0 up with 8 minutes to go. Alicia Davideo and Lisa Devanna scoring the goals for Perth before Caitlin Moonall scrambled one back and Ashley Sykes scored with a couple of minutes left for Canberra United.
Canberra listeners can hear Russ and myself. Obviously, talk about Canberra United at length, their game coming up against Sydney FC on the weekend. But, 2-2 there, and good to see Caitlin Munoz back on the field and back on scoring the goals.
Yeah, certainly was. She's been out for quite some time and back quicker than she actually thought. She had the knee brace off a couple of weeks ago, but to see her back was good. And Perth Glory, just to mention for them, they've looked a different side since Lisa Devanna's come back into the squad. And they'll, even though they're bottom of the table at the moment, I expect them to pick up a lot more points before the end of the season.
You do?
I certainly do, especially with Devanna there. We'll wait and see.
They have got the name Perth attached to them.
It's true. It might be a bit of a stigma.
Maybe that's what you're destined to do when you play football in Perth. I don't know. But it is fantastic to see Lisa Devanna back in there, back and scoring goals.
Yeah, and that's a Perth thing. They need to stop conceding goals in the last 5 minutes, both the men's and the women's teams.
Maybe that's what they teach them at school. I don't know. Now, who's the other game?
Melbourne Victory has two other games. Melbourne Victory beat Adelaide 3-0, Selin Kurilai with two and Daniela Di Giammarco with the goals for Melbourne Victory. And the Newcastle Jets beat Central Coast Mariners 4-2. Emily Van Egmond with the brace, Joanne Peters and Nicole Jones for Newcastle Jets. Rennie Rollison and Kaya Simon getting on the score sheet for the Mariners.
Adelaide in a bit of bother. Now the table, Queensland Raw, Newcastle, followed by... Queensland Raw, Newcastle, Sydney and Melbourne Victory are the top four. Mm-hmm. And then down to Canberra United, Adelaide United, Central Coast and Perth. Perth, 5 points off fourth place. So they still could do it, technically. Devanna could do anything, I reckon.
Well, they're running out of time to do so. I mean, it's only a short season. Obviously, we spoke about it at length a few weeks into the start of the year. With only a 10-round season, you can't really afford to drop many games. And teams that have dropped games like Perth, I don't think they'll make the four, but I think they'll make life uncomfortable for the other teams in and around them by taking some points off them before the end of the season.
Newcastle Jets have risen into joint second place. They've signed those Swedish players. And they also seem to be outside a bit.
Yeah, they ship a lot of goals and I think that'll be the main problem for them, but they do create a lot, and especially with the signing of the two Swedish girls, they'll make a big difference to the Newcastle Jets. And going into the finals, you wouldn't really want to be going to Newcastle because at the moment they're flying.
unlock them in. Now, top of the goal scorers list is Lena Karmas has 6 for Sydney FC, followed by Katie Gill on 4, and then come a whole host, Courtney Butel, Sharon Black, Lauren Coulthorpe, Lana Harch, Renee Rodderson, Sandra Scalzi, Kia Simon, all on 3. Notably, Lisa Devanna on 2 and on the way back, and maybe still have an impact on the table. Now, the fixtures this weekend, Adelaide, I'll just get your predictions here, Russ. Adelaide Central Coast.
I'll go for a draw in that one, a scoring draw.
A scoring draw, okay. Adelaide not having such a great run at the moment. But Canberra United versus Sydney FC.
Being a bit biased down here in Canberra, I'd like to predict a Canberra victory, but I think we're going to get another scoring draw in that one as well.
You're absolutely joking, mate. Canberra are going to flog them. Okay. So, but you know, nice bit of...
Sitting on the fence there for our Sydney listeners.
Yeah. No, we don't like sitting on the fence, certainly not for Sydney listeners. Now, Melbourne victory, Newcastle Jets.
I'd say the Newcastle Jets are going to take that one.
Ooh, I think that will be a draw. I reckon Melbourne victory. That's the top of Melbourne victory in at home. And our fourth, yeah.
3-1 Newcastle.
And Perth Glory versus...
Queensland Roar, probably.
That's the one, yeah. Queensland Roar.
Yeah, well, Perth will score, but Queensland will get a lot more.
Okay,
I think it'll be something like 4-2.
I think there's a bit of poetry in there somewhere, Russ, wasn't there?
I didn't think I meant it, unfortunately.
You're a poet and you didn't know it, yeah. Okay, now we're going to talk Fitsum. You have your Socceroos team ready to go right after this.
Socceroos in Asia, will they make it to the cup? The near post will wish them luck. The near post will wish them luck.
The Socceroos in Asia will wish them luck. Well, Fitsum Haptamari, and you're going to pick your Socceroos A-League team to play Indonesia or Kuwait. We wish you luck, mate, because we're going to give it to you if you get it wrong. Now, come on, who's in it?
Well, we're starting with the goalkeepers. I've got the two youngest goalkeepers, Danny Vukovic and Tanda Valapi, and I reckon Danny should start.
What about the Melbourne goalkeeper, Theoclitus?
No, I think it's time to give other players a chance.
Can we afford
and
to?
They can, definitely. I think we're Danny Vukovic is good enough.
What about the now Valapi is not good enough for a Socceroos game yet.
Yeah, but he can be on the bench.
He can be on the bench. Okay, we'll give you Vukovic then. Are we happy with that, Michelle?
Yes.
We are. We don't want Newcastle Jets goalkeeper Ante Kovac.
Well, he did stuff after
not after the weekend.
Yeah,
but if you leave him out, he's going to have a right old barney, isn't he? He's going to have a dummy spit.
He probably should be on the bench after the mistake.
He thinks he has the right to be the keeper of any team. Never mind.
That's all right. Yeah. He can contact us on the email there.
Okay, so Ante Kovac, you're going to be dumped for your Central Coast Mariners mate and your young fellow over in Perth. Who else you got?
Centre-backs, I've got the four players, Jade North, Adam Griffith, Andrew Durante and Craig Moore, and I'm going with Jade North and Adam Griffith.
That's probably the strongest part of our team, you would think, wouldn't you?
Mm. We've got plenty of good defenders around.
Yeah. I play Indonesia and Kuwait in January in the Asian Cup, so we have to we need to get off to a start. Obviously, we're all focused on the World Cup, but I mean, if we didn't get the Asia Cup, it'd be a bit of a crisis, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. I think after the last one, when we got knocked out of the Asian Cup, it was a bit of a shock to the system. So I think we don't want that happening again.
Okay, so who is your fullbacks?
The fullbacks, right, I'm thinking Tariq Elrich.
Right, okay, I think that would be a debut for him.
Yeah, and Downing on the left-hand side.
James Downing on the left?
Mm. Oh, no, on the right.
Sorry, Tariq Elrich on the right and Scott Jamieson on the left.
Oh, Scott Jamieson, okay, yeah, he's an impressive...
He's been doing very well.
Yeah. Any other contenders there?
Well, there's Downing on the right and there's also Berger from Melbourne. On the left.
Yeah, they're probably. I'll probably go with Tariq and Scott Jamieson. Maybe. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Midfield.
Mid on the right. Mid. I'm thinking Mark Bridge.
Mark Bridge. So we're going for a no pace sort of team, yeah.
Yeah. I think. I can't think of anyone that's going to be able to do their job with pace.
Okay.
On the right. On the left, I'm thinking Adrian Caceres.
Right.
And the centre halves, I'm thinking.
It's at times like this, I wish Caceres was Argentinian. As opposed to just being born there. Hey, go on.
Come on. The two guys in the middle, I'm thinking, are either Paul Reed and Mile Jedinak or Steve Corica, replacing one of those two. He can play behind the two strikers, which I think will be Danny Alsop and Archie Thompson.
Right, okay. No place for Nikita.
Nikita is someone I'll bring on probably about 60 or 70 minutes into the game.
All right. What about Thompson and Nikita starting? I mean, we know Danny's, he's experienced, but you think...
Yeah, I think they'll be two similar style players. They're the two players that would love to run with the ball. There's no one that will be able to hold the ball up for someone else to to get involved in the attack. So now,
Are we building this team for the future or what?
That's the plan, but I think
well, I'll just see
Corrick has been around. Corrick has been around, but I thought about players like Mushalik, and I can't think of any other creative players in the midfield that could play other than Corica, sadly now, to say.
A couple of questions for you. Nikolai Topor-Stanley played in the Oli Roos team. Could play, you know, he's okay left-sided, but, you
centre
know,
back.
Scott Jamieson or him?
I think Scott Jamieson does a lot more work, and I think Scott Jamieson is a lot quicker than Topor-Stanley. And I've seen him play, and he does well going up and down the line there.
Bradley Porter from Central Coast, would you give him a go on the right or not there yet?
Not there yet, I'd say.
Alrighty. And so midfield, James Holland. Now, he's had a Socceroos, he's had a big rap, but he's not in your squad.
Yeah, I'm not really a great fan of James Holland. Matt Simon, maybe. But James Holland,
No, he's gone backwards a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, I haven't seen him do much for the last few games.
In fact, I spoke to Ron Smith recently, and he said the same, that he'd plateaued, and perhaps that he'd been overworked, as you know. So they've got to take it easy with him. But hopefully he'll come good again. I'm sure he will. Travis Dodd, not in your team.
Travis Dodd, I'll be on the bench.
On the bench?
On the bench with Rukavica.
You're joking. Who did you have on the right side of midfield?
On the right side of midfield, we had Mark Bridge.
Mark Bridge, well, come on. Travis Dodd's got a bit of pace, mate.
Yeah,
can't have Corica and Mark Bridge in the same team. Haven't you ever watched Sydney FC?
Travis Dodd is a player that does well going forward. That's the only thing he can do. I don't see him playing back.
So you heard them say that on the telly, didn't
you? No, I've seen him play too.
Okay, now is that going to be a good enough team to beat?
I think that'll be a good challenging team, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Michelle, what do you think?
I would have Topor-Stanley in there as a centre-back, yep. And I would start with Rukavica, and I would have Zulo.
Michael Zulo?
Yes, he works very hard, and he's fast.
Well, he could.
I remember the great Maradona saying about Michael Owen that he could get injured hailing a taxi, and I reckon Zulo is in a similar bus there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he could. Okay, well, not a bad team. I think, I'll look forward to seeing your team play. Who's going to be your coach? It's Pim.
Pim, I don't know. does he know the A-League players?
It better be Pim. No,
what about the Adelaide coach?
No, it's got to be Pim. It's Socceroos, so it has to be. So we hope so, anyway. All right, well, thanks very much, Fitzam Haptamarian, new Socceroos coach, and Michelle Bertrand for joining us. Stay with us, the Canberra listeners. We're going to talk Canberra W League with Canberra United with Russ Gibbs in a moment. I think your Socceroos team will go fine, Fitzam. You've done a fine job, mate. In fact, you're wasted.
I reckon that should be the part of the selecting committee.
All right, if you go to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome back to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan, as it was in the first half of the show, and we're talking Canberra football, and special thanks to Capital Football for sponsoring the show. Also to integrity.net.org for streaming the show live out there across Australia. And with us in the studio now is Russ Gibbs. Russ, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Eamon.
What's your football highlights this week? Anything to...
Football highlights this week? There's been so many. I think... being a Manchester United fan, I'll have to say Wayne Rooney's thumping 6-yard drive against City.
It was so disappointing to see United win that game, wasn't it? I will say that it was also disappointing to see Glasgow Celtic lose their 17th out of 18 away games in the European Champions League to some godforsaken team in Denmark called Aalborg.
Yeah, to Aalborg, that can't be good.
But the good thing about Celtic is they always bounce back in Scotland and beat Inverness County 1-0, and we're now 7 points clear in the league. So we're still top of the league. So,
but I think the most important football highlight this week, obviously from a local point of view, has been the resurrection of Canberra United from looking down and out.
Oh,
I'll
tell
Perth
you what,
Glory.
There was a few people I know who they've found out the wonders of the internet, and they realised that you can get the scores online at high on the A-League, whatever it is, and .com, and they tuned on 2-0 to Perth Glory, and you're thinking, oh dear, here we go. But there it went. Two goals to Ashley Sykes according to the computer.
According to the computer, yeah. And according to a lot of people, it's two goals to Ashley Sykes. But I think we can reveal that the first goal was credited to Caitlin Munoz.
Computer says no.
Computer says no. It did indeed.
It did. So, but fantastic. Caitlin's back.
Caitlin is back, and it's great to see her back. She'll add a different dimension to the Canberra attack if she starts on the weekend against Sydney, which I expect she may.
Yeah.
She will make a big difference, but they've been threatening to score some goals, Canberra United, as we've mentioned throughout the year, especially the two home games against the Central Coast and latterly against Adelaide as well. They threatened to score goals. They haven't had the best of luck.
Fantastic. You know, Caitlin's scored. Ashley Sykes has scored. I think there's a lot of comments on my blog criticising a number of players, and which seems, I mean, I don't know, to me it's dead harsh. We haven't had a team, you know, we suddenly get this team, they're thrown together, you know, got Rhiann Davis flying in from Darwin, you've got Thea Slatcher flying in, you know, you've got limited time to put a team and, you know, the coach and all that sort of thing together, and they go out and they've done well, you know, they're in the top, well, where are they, fifth in the table, I think.
Yeah, fifth.
Fifth, so, you know, they're not at the bottom, they're not at the top, but they've done well, and they haven't lost, they haven't been flogged in any games, they've beaten Queensland, the top team, they've drawn, you know, the games have been close, they've fought like whatever. Yeah, in every game, and you know, people have been quite critical, and to me it's like, well, hang on, let's just take a bit of a breather here and say we've got a team, they've played in front of 1600 or 1000 people in both games, you've got young players like Ashley Sykes, who's probably only played two games at this level of football in her life, and the same with her sister, and also Bronwyn Studman, Chrissy Walters, you know, Rebecca Keating, you know, the list goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So these players are coming through, and it means, you know, realistically, it's going to take young players some time to develop consistency. And what Robbie Hooker's got there is he's got players who are now, you know, a major part of a national league, which we've never had for a long time. And they're doing well.
Yeah, it's a learning curve for a lot of them, and people forget that. I mean, I mean, without wanting to downplay what people are saying on the blog, it's great to see that there's a passion there for a team, and that people want to go on there and comment and make comments about this team. I think personally that Ashley Sykes was particularly unlucky against Adelaide. People forget she's only very young.
She was superb.
She played really well. It's just that end product wasn't quite there. Now that she's got the goal under her belt, obviously, as any striker will be able to tell you, once you get that first goal under the belt, it's a big monkey off your back, and then it's you know, the goals will start to flow from there.
It is. But John Aloisi, you know, he rarely scores. And also, I mean, Ashley Sykes is 17. You know, and you think, that's well, it. I mean, look, I'm all for, you know, analysing and criticising perhaps privately. You know, you make throwaway comments. I mean, that's just football, isn't it? But I think the team needs as much support as possible. This weekend, Sydney FC, it's a big game. But they've got Thea Slasher will be back. So, I mean, on the weekend as well, they got the point without Thea Slasher, without Sian Michalski. You know, they were 2-0 down. And they've got everybody's available, I think, this weekend.
This weekend, for the first time, everybody's available. Of course, Hayley Crawford also made her Canberra United debut in the draw on the weekend. As you mentioned, Thea Slatcher is back, and Sarah Machewski is also back. Caitlin Munoz is back from injury. She'll make a big difference, as I mentioned. I think having that little bit more experience tucked into that midfield, if she can force her way into the team. It's interesting for Robbie Hooker this week. He's got Sarah Machewski's back in. He's got Grace Gill, who's been performing really, really well for Canberra. It's interesting to see what sort of lineup he goes with on the weekend. He's going to have to leave one of them out, whether he leaves out Mowbray or McDonnell and plays one of those girls wide and puts Munoz back in to the middle, or whether he starts with Munoz up front and uses Sykes as a strike weapon off the bench. It'd be interesting to see what he does on the weekend. It's a nice headache for him to have for the first time this season. He's got everybody there, and I think from a Canberra United point of view, it's going to be a good match, because they're going to need to be on their game as well, because looking at the Sydney FC squad and taking away the aberration they had on the weekend, beaten 3-0 by Queensland, who are by far the best team in the league, apart from Canberra, obviously. They've got a good team. They've got a lot of depth across a balanced side.
Assuming everybody's available, we're going to assume that. What's the team going to be? Come on.
Putting us on the spot now.
Okay, I'll go first. Lydia Williams.
Lydia Williams, definitely in goal.
I'm
not changing that. About central defence, I'd start with Amy Chapman on one side, Rhiann Davies on the other.
Amy, hang on. Are you going back?
Ellie Brush on one side. I always get them mixed up, as you know. Ellie Brush on one side, Rhiann Davies on the other. I'll be tempted to go with Grace Gill at centre back alongside Thea Slatcher.
So you're going to play Ellie Brush and Rhiann Davies. Now, both of them, from what I've seen, are right sided players, but you're going to play Ellie Brush on the left.
Yes, I am.
Ooh,
yeah, okay. I think she's confident enough on the board to play out there.
Okay, you're going to put Grace Gill in centre back.
Yeah, to get her in the team, because then that allows me to play Macheski in the middle with Caitlin.
So you got your four at the back. So in the middle, you got Sam Macheski and Caitlin Munoz. And
Giga. Amy Chapman on the left.
On the right, you mean?
On the
you knew. On the right. I knew what you meant. Yeah.
On the right hand side.
Yeah.
Left hand side, probably go with Cara Mowbray. And then Sasha McDonald up front with Ashley Sykes.
Okay, so who's dropped from that?
That's a good question. I can't remember. Bronwyn Stedman wouldn't make. She'd be on the bench.
No. Okay, So Bronwyn Stedman. So you could play Bronwyn Stedman and Ali Brush in the centre, and then push. It gives you another option with Grace Gill.
So there's lots of options. I mean, and the good thing about it, I think, is that Robbie's got a lot of players that have got the ability to play elsewhere on the park. I mean, they can play in and around different positions. You could even push, you know, Sasha McDonald out on the wing if you need to, and push Cara Mowbray up front. It's very interchangeable.
That left side of midfield position is perhaps the one position you don't seem to have anybody who's perfectly suited to it.
Not absolutely suited to it. I think that's a fair comment. And I think if looking at the league table, you see that we've only scored 6 goals this season. We are the lowest scorers in the league so far. But defensively, we are excellent. And I think outside of Queensland and Melbourne have only conceded 5, but they've got to play some of the better teams yet.
The other advantage, of course, is once Caitlin's back and Ashley Sykes, Sasha McDonald, you've got a chance to interchange players and bring on players fresh. So it gives, you know, you can actually play hard for 60 and then bring on Ashley Sykes or bring on Caitlin as they did on the weekend. It gives you, or even Sasha McDonald. I mean,
yeah, they've got a bit more experience with Caitlin back in there, and obviously having Thea Slatley back as well brings that more experience in. But full credit to the youngsters that have been playing over the last couple of weeks. Rebecca Keating came in on the weekend and did really well, as she has done every time she's been asked to.
She looks good.
She does, yeah. As terms of centre back, I mean, she's played really well there alongside Thea.
Yeah, I've enjoyed watching her the few times I've seen her play. She's a, you know, I know she's a young player, but she's doing very well.
And it's Hayley Crawford who I left out on the weekend.
No, Nicole Sykes played on the weekend, but I think she must have played.
No, that list we just were talking about, the team. Who did we leave out? We left out Hayley Crawford from the team that started.
And where's she normally a starter? Is she a forward?
She's
a
forward, but I think she can drop in a little bit behind as well. But again, it gives you, it's all about options. And I think when you've got all these options, might be tempted to put Ashley on the bench. She's played the last 3 games, so whether she needs a rest, because she's still quite young. But I'd like to see her start. She's one of those players that excites the crowd when she gets the ball. She's pacey. She's direct.
She scored a goal. That's good.
She's off and running.
Her confidence must be on. You know, she must have really lifted her. So to drop her would be think it'd be bad. Now we're fifth in the table. We say we because we're biased and all that sort of stuff. Fifth in the table. What's the go with? Can we make it top 4? We've got 4 games to go. 3 of them at home. On paper, that sounds like we're in. But
we got to decide. We got to see who we're playing against. And 3 of the 4 matches left. Sydney FC at home, they're sitting 3rd at the moment. Melbourne Victory at home, they're sitting 4th. Away to the Central Coast Mariners, and then of course a nice easy one to finish at home to Queensland Raw.
So we need to have it sorted out probably by the time we get home to Queensland.
Well, I think Queensland obviously by then will be away and out of sight. They're 5 points clear at the moment. I hesitate to say by far the best team in the league, because Canberra have been up there and beaten them, which is a massive achievement when you start to look at the fact that they've only conceded 2 goals all season. They've been given sides a drubbing. Yes, they were missing a few players when Canberra went up there, but you play the shirts, not who's in them.
The shirts. Now, a big game. I mean, hopefully there's going to be a big crowd up there. It's what time's kick-off? 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock on Saturday. I've spoke to Capital Football with Chris Goddess, the media man, today, and he's predicting a crowd of almost 2,000, he thinks. Good. So get there nice and early.
Chris never gets things wrong.
Chris doesn't.
I guarantee it.
No, he's our inside source for all things W League.
So
and
if he's
never
predicting 2,000, we're going to say 2,500.
Well,
it could be huge.
It could be huge.
Could be massive.
Well, the weather's supposed to be good, which is going to be good. We had 804 there also for the last game against Adelaide, and it was a bitterly cold day. The rain was coming down.
It was played in winter.
And it was on TV.
Yeah, it was on TV. So, no, it's good. And it's perfect. It's the perfect matchup, Sydney FC versus Canberra, isn't it? It's a game they have to win, Canberra. Bit of pressure on the team, but hey, I mean, that's football. You want to go out there, and when you do beat Sydney, then it just means that bit more.
Yeah, in the national show, I sat on the fence a bit saying that it'd be a draw, but if we can nullify the threat of Lina Karmis, which obviously some teams haven't been able to do this season, but with her scoring 6 goals, And to do that, I think you need to stop Heather Garrett creating from midfield.
Heather Garrett's back; she's playing again, so that's pretty crucial, isn't it?
If we can shut her down in the middle of the park, which I think is where Canberra's strong, and stop the ball getting to Lena Kamis, then I think player for player, we're more than a match for them.
Well, there you go. You heard it here on Near Post. Russ Gibbs will be calling the game on the weekend. Player for player, we're more than a match for Sydney FC. That's what we want to hear, Russ. Good on you. Now we're going to talk to Keon Ansell in a few moments. Keon's been overseas talking about just lolling around the world watching football. So we're going to get Keon, his Tuggeranong United player, I believe, and he's going to tell us really what he's been doing, who he's been watching, and just give us his thoughts. Coming up in just a minute, hopefully we'll have Keon on the line.
There's a minute to go at McKellar Stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda Stag drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links. Hello, Keon, can you hear me?
Yes,
hello.
I can.
Okay, would you mind Tuggeranong United player Keon Ansell? Keon, just tell us briefly who you play for in Canberra, and we're going to then talk a little bit about your journey overseas and the teams you've watched.
Okay, my whole footballing career has been with Tuggeranong United. From under 11s, I've played all three juniors, had a few years off during college and that sort of thing, but I've been playing now with the seniors at Tuggeranong for about the last 5 or 6 years.
So you've just been overseas doing a bit of work or just for a holiday?
Yeah, just doing a bit of work overseas, managed to get to a few games while I was over in Spain and also in England, so
pretty
lucky.
what sort of work, if you don't mind us asking, what sort of work do you do that enables you to go and watch football overseas?
Just government work.
Just government work.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a good job. What's that, the football department of the government, is it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
no, good. So yeah. Just government work. Now, apart from just government work, you actually went to watch, tell us a few of the games that you saw.
The first game I saw was Atletico Madrid versus Mallorca at the Calderon there. That was pretty special as the first game. I hadn't been to a Spanish league game before, so to experience that was pretty special. I was told before I went that there's the difference between Atletico and Real Madrid, sort of the working class to the blue collar worker, white collar worker sort of thing, and you could definitely see that from going to Atletico to Real Madrid.
And you went to watch Real Madrid as well, did you?
Yeah, I actually managed to get to 3 games at the Bernabeu, so yeah, I made the most of my time there.
You certainly did. So who did you see? You saw Real and...
I saw Real Madrid and Juventus in the Champions League, and unfortunately Real Madrid didn't score that night and lost 2-0.
You're a bit of a white-collar fan, are you? A bit of a Real Madrid fan?
I was just hoping to see as many games as I could. So I'm actually an Arsenal fan. So
we're coming to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So so Juve. Any players that are on? Any players that took your eye? Who was playing that night?
There's a few world class players. There was Van Nistelrooy was playing. He actually got injured in the first game. Schneider was also playing, Casillas in goal.
How did the Real Madrid fans take to being beaten at home by Juve?
The atmosphere was pretty good until Juve scored.
And
and yeah, And to be honest, the few thousand Juve fans in an 80,000 seat stadium were making a hell of a lot of noise. It was just amazing to be in that sort of atmosphere. I mean, it's so loud you can't even hear the next person talking next to you. And even the few games I went to after that where the crowds were getting sort of a bit annoyed at the Real Madrid team because they weren't playing that well. I mean, the atmosphere was still quite amazing. And
Was that the same at the Calderon with Atletico Madrid? Was the atmosphere? Were you impressed by the atmosphere there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a much more open stadium. It's about 50,000 capacity, I think, and much more open. And we were right down the front. We were in the second row, and so you weren't sort of as closed in as in the Bernabeu, even though it's such a big stadium. But still amazing atmosphere, really loud for the whole 90 minutes.
Now, we know you're a bit of a scholar of football, being an Arsenal fan and also being a, you know, Tuggeranong United player. What about the style of football? We'll talk about Arsenal in a moment, but the Spanish league, the Spanish football, you know, how do you find the style of Spanish football?
Yeah, I've always loved the Premier League just for the pace and I love watching Arsenal play. Just the style that they've adopted over the last sort of 9-10 years. And the Spanish game, is so technical. It's not quite as fast paced as the English league, but you can't see anything like that, you know, day to day, and I was just lucky to be able to see.
Okay, now you're on the radio. You've been streamed across the world. We're going to let you talk about Arsenal. Okay, come on, tell us about your love of Arsenal. Why are you an Arsenal fan? First of all,
I don't really have a choice. My grandfather my grandfather was a huge Arsenal fan, and my whole family's from England. It's all I've ever known. Just I've always been an Arsenal fan, and. Yeah,
it's okay. We commiserate with you. You say it's great. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. So you got to go to the Emirates Stadium. Is that your first time there, or you've been there a few times?
Yeah, that's our first time at Emirates. I've only seen Arsenal play twice before in 2005. Once at Highbury and once at Millennium for an FA Cup semi-final.
So before this big game, who was it? Arsenal versus.
Sorry.
Who did they play? Arsenal.
This one.
Yeah.
This time, Arsenal Manchester United.
Oh, huge game, yeah. Arsenal Manchester United. So yep. how does an Arsenal fan go to the game? You know, did you have the shirt on?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, had all the gear on.
You got all the gear on?
Yeah. Fantastic. The shirt, the scarf, everything. Yeah.
When I went to go watch Celtic, there's a couple of guys in November, it was pretty cold, and they used to wear the shorts and the boots just in case they get caught up. So Arsenal United, huge game. How did you get a ticket for that one?
It's pretty tough to get a ticket. I'm an Arsenal member, but that doesn't really help you unless you've got a season ticket, or especially to these big games. The easiest way for any Arsenal fans out there, if they want to go over there, is to join the Australian Arsenal Supporters Club, and you can request tickets that way about 6 weeks before the games are on.
Right. I was
pretty lucky to get one doing it that way.
And particularly for that game. Now, I think from memory, Arsenal won that game. Is that correct?
They sure did.
Well, come on, tell us about it. What was the score?
2-1. Manchester scored right near the end, so we pretty much had it wrapped up.
Now, Arsenal, they've got a lot of young players. They've got a fantastic style of play over the last few years. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I mean, both teams are great teams on their day. I mean, there's not that many teams better in the world, I don't think. And even after that game, reading the reports, even from both managers, from Sir Alex Ferguson, just saying, you know, if there's a game of football, that's the way it should be played. And to be there was just amazing. I mean, it was just end-to-end flowing football the whole time. And, yeah. Best team won on the day.
Well, the best team might have won on the day. I'm not going to argue with that because I'm sitting next to a Manchester United fan in Ruskin, so he's cringing. But it's interesting that you say that they're one of the best teams in the world. But is it true that you've never won the European Cup?
Oh, yeah, we got close.
You got close. Well, I'm a Celtic fan, and there's a Man United fan sitting next to me, and we're delighted to say that our teams have.
Oh, so, one day, we'll get there.
Yeah, you're dreaming. Now, more importantly, are you going to beat Burnley in the Carling Cup tomorrow?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we always put a young team out, and I think some people say it's bad for the game. You know, they should be playing their full team each time, but I think it gives those young guys a bit of experience at the top level, and even though Burnley's not in the Premier League or anything, but, you know, it still gives them that cup match so, experience.
And, so you're looking back on the experience there of being at the Arsenal United game. What are your memories of you know, the crowd and the players, the whole game? What's your overriding memory there, Kian?
Yeah, just the whole experience, the whole day. I mean, I was at the stadium a couple of hours before kickoff, and just to be there was quite amazing. I didn't think I'd get back there quite so soon, but yeah, and the crowd during the game was pretty special. I mean, Arsenal's not known for their loud vocal support, but for someone coming from Australia, I mean, we don't get that sort of crowd at football games here. So I mean, for me, it was quite special, and yeah, we won, and that was even better. So.
Yeah, it certainly does. Yeah. So now you're back in Australia. I know you're also a signed-up member of the Canberra League. How would you, you know, it's hard to compare, I guess, Arsenal Manchester United with the Canberra League, but as a passionate football fan, what are your thoughts on the Canberra League side?
I think it would be great for Canberra to get the men's team here. I know there's a lot of support through all the local players and members and football lovers in the community. I watched a couple of the A-League games today from the weekend, and although the crowd numbers aren't there from the games I saw overseas, the support seems to be getting better. The crowd's getting louder, and I think it's just gonna keep growing. So for Canberra to get a team would be great.
Yeah, and you can save your money instead of going watching Arsenal. We'll take you up to Canberra Stadium. You'll save a lot of money. Now, down in Tuggeranong, you've appointed a new coach in Darren Viskovic, I believe. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
So what are the plans for the new season? I mean, it's early days yet, I know, but...
Yeah, I only just got back from overseas yesterday, so I'm yet to organise, to get to know Darren and that sort of thing. So... I'm sure he's got some ideas and can help Tuggeranong move forward in 2009.
Okay, we'll leave you with, I suppose, a final word on Arsenal. Just a final memory of perhaps the best Arsenal moment that you've had, Kian, in your lifetime, following the Gunners.
This game was pretty special, the one I went to. Just such a good game of football and being there. Experiencing that. One of the other games I went to, which was my only game at Highbury, was against Tottenham. So that was pretty amazing too. When we won that 1-0.
I think you always beat Tottenham, don't you?
We try. Yeah, we don't often lose.
So, and the best memory apart from being at the game, any particular game that you watched on, you know, probably on TV, any important Arsenal game that just stands out?
I guess the Champions League final, that was...
The one where you lost to Henrik Larsson, the former Celtic player.
That's right. I mean, it's a pretty amazing moment.
Yeah. If Thierry Henry had scored that second chance to tie it up, you could sit with Russ Gibbs and myself as winners of the Champions League.
Yeah, that's right.
But as it is,
I mean, it's pretty special to make the Champions League final, and
there are people who talk like that. But you know, we're winners on this show. I won't keep going.
How'd Celtic go this season?
Yeah, no, we're never going to win the Champions League again. But neither are you, so it won't matter.
Hey, we're still in it.
Well, that's true. Okay, well, I'll be cheering for you. All right. All
right.
Well, Kian Ansell from Tuggeranong United, thanks for sharing your football journey with us, and good luck to the Gunners and good luck to Tuggeranong. Thanks, Kian.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks, mate.
See ya. Bye.
And that was Tuggeranong United's Kian Ansell sharing. a bit of passion for the game, both here from, you know, a person in Tuggeranong who's, like many Australians and many Canberrans, get to go overseas, watch a bit of football, and it really means something to them. And, you know, we don't always get to hear people's personal stories, Russ. You know, yourself, United fan, Celtic fan, myself. You know, we obviously know many people who don't just play locally, but they actually do make the trip.
Yeah, I was very lucky. I've only been in Australia now for about 3.5 years.
That is lucky, mate. If you're no longer, it's bad.
And obviously, I grew up overseas in the UK and I got to see games, and you do take it a little bit for granted. For people like Keon, who I know is a passionate Arsenal supporter, and there's a lot of other people out there that are passionate about their Premier League clubs. A couple of other boys down at Tuggeranong, I know that there's a young lad by the name of Matt McDonald, who I believe you may have met, Macca, on your trips overseas. Massive fan of Sunderland and some Scottish team in blue that we're not allowed to mention. We're not allowed to mention this other Scottish team on this show, I think.
No, we can't mention Rangers.
The Rangers boys, he's a big fan. And Jeremy Butler, obviously, he's a big West Ham fan. You met him on your travels as well. These are the guys, you know, they're very passionate, their team. And when they get to go overseas and get to watch their team play, it obviously means an awful lot more to them than someone that can get out there every week and watch them, because the distance is a factor.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like, I mean, I must remember, I've been to many Celtic games over the years, and, you know, Keon talked about being there 2 hours outside the ground. You know, when Celtic were playing Real Madrid or Juve, you know, in a big European game, you know, four hours before the stadium, you know, people would be sort of queuing around, and you think, what's going on here? You know, I'd obviously travelled a long way to watch the game, but the atmosphere would just build up on those European nights. It was just absolutely superb, you know, to be just around people who supported the team and... anticipation of watching Real Madrid, and you know, Celtic usually beat them at home.
It was a little bit different from my last trip to Highbury, where I watched Arsenal play Manchester United, and I was very fortunate to get a ticket for that. And we got into the ground 2 minutes before kickoff because we were in the pub. Letting the atmosphere build.
Yes, that's what I like to hear, mate. that's the sort of guy who takes his football for granted. It's like the fans often turn up, you know, 2 minutes before the game, doesn't it?
That was it, yeah.
But that's United fans for. United fans are a little bit more fickle, you know, they're a little bit, they've got other things to do in their life, but as the Celtic fans, you know, we kind of live and breathe the game.
Yeah, I mean, the build-up, it's a big part of it. I'm being a bit flippant there, but I mean, when you get to go to big matches like this, and even the Socceroos games, let's be fair, I mean, I've been lucky enough to go to a fair few Socceroos games since I've been here, and the boys and myself, we get to the ground way before kickoff. So we've parked ourselves in the open air beer garden outside of Stadium Australia on a number of occasions, hours before kickoff, enjoying the build up and the atmosphere, singing the songs and getting involved in the general crack, if you like.
Good stuff. A couple of minutes to go, talk Canberra A League. The bus trip to Sydney versus Perth Glory. Fans of the Canberra A League can join up on the bus on the website, and you know, it's a chance to show, wear the green and show the colours on the TV to the FFA. It's the 21st of December. It's $85 for the bus, the ticket, and the shirt. Yeah, and the Canberra League bid is going gangbusters. We're really pushing ahead with getting sponsors, getting corporate sponsors, and also getting the supporters signed up. We're starting a campaign to get 10,000 people signed up to say they support a Canberra League team. So look out for that coming around to a suburb or a pitch or an oval or a shopping centre near you. So hopefully we can get the 10,000 people signed up. And the committee are going gangbusters trying to get, and they've appointed two people to do some job, including me. So it shows there's a bit of money out there to get the thing over the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that these petitions coming up. You'll be able to, if you play local soccer in the sixes, you can in the six-a-side tournaments, especially at Tuggeranong, there'll be sheets around tomorrow. I urge everybody to sign up. I believe some sheets are going to be going around to the Canberra A League W League game on the weekend between Canberra and Sydney FC as well. So hopefully there'll be some sheets around there. If you do see them, please sign up and put your name forward.
Canberra FC's 50th celebration this week, 50 years of football. So you know, there'll be plenty of coverage, and we'll be trying to get down there as well. So plenty going on, plenty of football going on as usual. So yeah, we're trying to really push the A-League now. It's March is the deadline, so there'll obviously be a bit of a break over the Christmas period, but we're trying to just go to the next level. We've got the investment money. It's a question now of, you know, getting the sponsors, and we're targeting big sponsors, and then getting more community support, not just from Canberra but from Coombe and Goulburn and the surrounding regions. That's what we need to do to show that we have broad support. It's our one chance to get the team.
It's important, and we can't stress how important it is that we've talked about it, and we've had people say yes, or whether you want a team, now's the time to actually stand up and be counted and put your name forward. And it's very important, anybody out there, if we are important, if we really, really, really want a team here in Canberra, which we all do, we need to put our name down. We're not asking for anything other than a pledge of interest, really, just to sign the petition. Put your email down there, get out there and support a Canberra United A-League bid.
And it's a chance to be at the first game, that historic first game, so you'll be notified ahead of anybody else. Now, that's the end of the show. Thanks very much, Russ, and get out to the Canberra United game on Saturday. And if you go into the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.